Do you know him? Do you know him as a rock in the weary land and as a shelter in the time of storm? Amen. Amen. God is so good. He is awesome. Let me get my mask here, my shield rather. How y'all doing today? Amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you have them, to John 16. Or you can dial us up on your iPad or electronic device, your smartphone. Yeah, I had to rename my smartphone something else. I'm not going to be paying a bill on something that I can't figure out. So I called it something else. Amen. Oh, by the way, while y'all standing, I bought this thing called Alexa. Alexa will talk to you. Tell you a whole lot of stuff you don't even want to know. Amen. I don't know all of these, what they call artificial intelligence. It's a challenge with us living today, but we thank God that we are still alive. And I want to say to you that you will never get beyond the place where you'll need God in your life. You'll never get beyond that. All of the electronics and all of these other things, I don't care how many Alexas you got. So Alexa asked me, said, do you want me to hook up other stuff? I said, nope. Turn you off when I get ready. Amen. John chapter 16, verses 31 through 33 is where we will find our text for today. And we're speaking on the subject, living in the best of times. Living in the best of times. Verse 31, we find in our reading, Jesus is responding to his disciples. They have said, we know that you are the Christ. And Jesus responded, do you now believe? Behold, the hour comes, yes, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace in the world. You will have tribulation or trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Father, we thank you again for this awesome opportunity that we have to share your word. We pray that you would bless me now to share it, Lord, with power and with conviction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give us the unction that whatever we say might be for your glory. And as he is sovereign and he is Lord, as Mahalia Jackson would say, he's got the whole wide world in his hands. Don't worry about your life. The disciples were troubled because Jesus had said to them, I'm going away. I'm going back to my Father. And they were troubled because they didn't know what to do in the absence of Jesus. How would they live their lives? How would they move forward? They were asking that question. Now that we're faced with all types of situations, we're asking ourselves in uncertain times, how are we going to make it? How will the church be a blessing to people? Some are even questioning the relevance of the church. Do we really need it? I can get all I need online. I can tune in and get preaching. I can get all of these things, but you can't get fellowship. Fellowship is when we come together. Now, I understand that we're in these times where of uncertainty and we have to use safety precautions, which we are. We're trying to keep each other safe. But at the same time, we need each other as we need God. I miss being able to just sit down and have a meal together with the saints of God. I miss that. I miss the times where we would get together and just sing for joy and know that the Lord is our sovereign God. But these are uncertain times. It's uncertain as we face all of these things. Jesus tells us, and he asked the disciples, do you now believe? Do you believe that I am the one that conquered all? Do you believe that? And if you believe that, no matter what you're facing, even in uncertain times, you can be blessed. Can I get an amen? There are uncertain times for the church. I was studying and looking at a study by George Bonner. The Bonner Institute published a study last year, And over the last 20 years, from 2000 to 2020, practicing Christians have declined by over half. In other words, in 2020, you had more Christians, which represented about 45% of all adults in the United States. You had people saying, we are practicing Christians. By the time we got to the year 2020, it had fallen to 25% of adults who called themselves practicing Christians. Now, be mindful of the fact that the Bible says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And in these perilous times, many will depart from the faith. Bonner goes on to cite that many of the people who used to be practicing Christians have become either non-practicing Christians. I still believe, but I ain't gonna do nothing about it. Non-practicing Christians, or they have become non-Christians. Many of our younger population are asking themselves, well, what does the church stand for? It's a building. And I want to correct them and say the church is not a building, it's a group of people. We meet in a building. We gather to worship. We honor God, but we go out to serve. We are here for a reason. We are here for the purpose of glorifying God. Now, certainly, the uncertain times for the disciples was a point in their life where they had to ask themselves, who are we without Jesus? How will we identify our faith? How will we be able to express our love for God? They had grown up in Judaism, and that very Judaism had not accepted Jesus Christ as Messiah. So they were asking themselves, how do we practice our faith in a hostile environment? Now, you're not Jewish. Neither am I. I'm a Gentile according to the flesh. But we are children of God because of our faith in God. But we are challenged in these uncertain times and asking the same question, how will I practice my faith in an uncertain world? If I say I believe, then people will call me a hater. They will say, well, you hate this and you hate. No, we don't hate anything. We love, but we are different. We have been called out of the world into Christ, and we are a new creature in Him because of His grace and because of His mercy. We're different. And we pray for the people of the world. And I don't believe in this kind of radical faith. Just because you're a Christian, you got to go out and you got to punish other people or speak bad of them. You don't have to do that. Show love. People will know that you're my disciples because you love one another. You don't have to hold up a protest sign. We disagree with those folk. I guarantee if you love them, if you invite them over for coffee, if you say to them, let's talk, you'll be able to influence them more than by fighting against the world. Jesus never called you to fight against the world. He called you to fight the good fight of faith. And that's what we are bound to do today. Uncertain times. We don't know what the church is going to look like 20 years from now. Will we have people? That's why we're doing what we can to reach out with the gospel. But I can tell you this, if the gospel got to you, if God's word got to you, it's going to get to someone else. How many of you agree with that? It's going to touch their lives. I know many of us are praying for our young people because they are now disengaged. They're now turned off by the church. And how do we get them engaged again? Trust in the Lord. Know that He is able to bring them to that place where they need to be in Christ. We're living in uncertain times, and certainly even after Jesus died and rose again and sent back the Holy Spirit, it was still uncertain for the church. They didn't know what was going to come next, but they kept their faith in God. They kept moving forward and proclaiming His truth, and guess what? God gave them victory. God will give you that same victory today as you trust in Him with all of your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. Uncertain times, not knowing what tomorrow will bring, but we know the one that will bring tomorrow. Not only are we living in uncertain times, we are living in troubled times. Troubled times. And I know there are people that are on both sides of the thought of having guns or not having guns. I don't have one in my house because, you know, I don't want to, amen, give my wife equipment. I'm just kidding. She'd never shoot me, I guess. But there are people on both sides of the aisle. There are people that are saying, well, I think it's right for you to have guns. I don't think it's right to have guns. And yet, people are being killed. Shootings, violence is going on in our land. We're troubled. But not only is there trouble from without, the violence that's going on in our land, the Bible speaks of wars and rumors of wars. Right now, we're talking about a pullout of Afghanistan, but the war is going to continue. And there are other parts of the world that the war is going to continue. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not an argument about guns. It's an argument about God. As Jesus was saying in this verse, if you don't have peace in your heart, you're going to have trouble. There are a lot of people that are trying to make it through this pandemic, and they're saying, I just want to be left alone. Just leave me to myself. But even if you're left to yourself, you become your own worst nightmare. Trouble. The people that are now facing psychiatric issues have been in this pandemic for a long time, and they have a sense of hopelessness. Hopelessness. And in this discourse where Jesus gives to his disciples, starting back in John 13, he's starting to talk with them and prepare them. One of the things that he brings up over and over again in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Yes, we've got trials. Yes, we've got situations. Yes, there's some of you that had to face COVID personally. And you even had to face the outcome. But guess what Jesus says? Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now from that, we are able to discern this one point which I want to make strongly. God is in control of all of it. Of all of it, not some of it. God's not just in control on Sunday, one day of the week. God is in control of everything at all times. And sometimes he doesn't work things out according to our plan. But he works things out always according to his will. If you never had a problem, if you never had trouble, you wouldn't know how strong God was. And the flip side of that, you wouldn't know how weak you are and how much you need God. The hymn writer was correct when he said, I need thee every hour. Our dependence on God is ongoing. It's something that we have to realize. The impact of this perilous time that we're living in has brought panic to a lot of people. Not only a pandemic, but panic. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to move forward. And ladies and gentlemen, the answer is right here in this book. We're facing uncertain times. We're facing troubled times. But hear the word of Jesus. Do you now believe? Do you now recognize who I am? Do you now recognize my authority and how I am God? Jesus wants us to have that blessed assurance in our lives. And I thank God. I don't know a whole lot of stuff, but I know who's in control of my life. Used to hear Deacon J.E. McDaniel many years ago, he would say to us, be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. You've got to have that blessed assurance that God will take care of you. Y'all still with me today? So we got people leaving the church. We got people going here. We got people that are now turning to this and that, and drugs have increased. Opioids have increased. Why is that? People are seeking for peace. They want peace of mind. They want to know that things are under control. Well, I can tell you one place where things are not upset, and that's in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not just a place. It's a state of being. If anyone is in Christ, I'm going to read you some incredible verses today. Because this verse, Jesus pointed to his disciples and he said a couple things. And I want to give you two prophecies that he made in this verse. First of all, when Jesus was speaking to them and asking them, do you now believe? He said, behold, the hour is coming and now is where every one of you is going to be scattered. Every one to his own way. And so first of all, the prophecy was, we're going to lose it. We're not as stable as we think we are. Just like those disciples then, we have disciples now. Be honest with yourself. Have you ever doubted God? Have you ever said to yourself, well, Lord, I don't know. Like this man that was at the end of his rope, he was hanging on this cliff, and he was at the end of this rope, and he cried out, help, help, can anyone help me? And God answered him back. He said, let go. And the man said, is that you, Lord? He said, yes, that's me. Let go. The man said, help. Anybody else can help me. And sometimes we are like that. We doubt God. He knew that. Here is Jesus that had trained these disciples for over 3 years, had been with them, had walked with them, ate with them, slept with them. And now there he's saying to them, you are going to abandon me. That's prophecy number one. At times in our life, we've walked off from God, but he's never walked off from you. That's why I love it in the church where we can come and we can confess our faults and our sins and we can say, Lord, I blew it. I didn't get that right. Lord, I didn't honor you. There's always a way back. Jesus knew what was in the human heart. And so many times he would say, I'm not depending on you. I'm depending on that verse, on my Father. Right in that verse, it says that my Father is with me. God is with us even when we fail. You ask the question, how much does God love you? God loved you in your failure. That's how much he loved you. How many of y'all ever had these little babies that they come up to you and they barely can walk and they come up to you? You know they're your kid, but they got this stinky diaper. And they just want you to take them up in your arms and love them. But they just got this stinky diaper. And you got to deal with that. Here we come to God in our mess and all we want God to do, Lord, just take me up. And God says, you sure do stink. But I love you anyway. That's the amazing God that we serve. He loves us in this troubled world. He loves us when we're going through these perilous times in our lives. And he never stops loving us. Yes, we're in troubled times. Jesus said in this world, John 16 and verse 33, in this world, you will have tribulation. Some preach a faulty gospel. Some say, well, you just come to Christ and all your problems are over. Some of them are, but a lot of them are not. But here's the point. It's better to face the troubles of life with God on your side than without him. When you got God with you, he gives you victory. When you got God with you, even when you cause the problem, the Lord comes in and the Lord delivers you and loves you just the same. Isn't that amazing? Give the Lord a hand clap for his amazing love. Amen. In the world, you will have tribulation. In the world, you will have disappointments. The story is told about a young preacher from the state of Pennsylvania. Back in the 1850s, he lost his church. His name was Dudley Tenge. He lost his church because he preached against slavery. And as the Episcopal Church had not embraced the truth of God concerning that, Tenge went on to start preaching at the YMCA, the new movement that had started, and led thousands of people to Christ. And as he was leading people to Christ, Dudley Tenge made a statement one day in March of 1858, rather, and he said, I would rather that this right arm were amputated from its trunk than that I should come short of my duty of delivering God's message. Well, a couple of days later, he was out in his barn and working with his mule, and his arm got caught in one of these corn grinders. and he lost his arm. And sadly, doubly tinged, died. But before his death, his friends visited him and asked, what is it that you would want us to say to the fellow ministers? How would you want to encourage them? Now, talking about trouble, talk about uncertainty. It had hit his life. And at that point, on his deathbed, Dudley Tinge said, tell them to stand up for Jesus. And it was George Duffield, George Duffield, who was inspired by that word. And he wrote a hymn. It's in your hymn book entitled, Stand Up for Jesus. And I got to read this third stanza because it's interesting how that Tinge had actually prophesied about his life. Third verse says, stand up for Jesus. Stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Literally. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor. Each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. That became one of the great hymns of the church, but you think about it, we rely on our own arm of flesh. Trouble comes our way, we'll just go over here and just get some money. Or I'll pull it out of my 401k plan. Or I'll do this and I'll do that. Why? Because I can handle it. Well, what happens when your 401k plan and your savings account is gone? What happens when you have maxed out your credit? What happens when the storm's still coming your way and your problems are never solved? The arm of flesh will fail you. He had learned that. And I pray that we today, like the disciples, would learn, I dare not trust myself. I'd better trust in God. As a matter of fact, one of the disciples listening to Jesus was Peter. He was listening as Jesus was bringing out the fact, you're going to abandon me. Oh, no, Lord, it won't be me. I'm strong. I can handle it. Everybody else might leave you, but I won't leave you. And Peter, as you remember, denied Christ. Not once, not twice, but three times. So don't say to yourself, I'm strong, I got this, and find yourself denying the very God that loves you. Jesus knew what we were capable of. He knew that we didn't have it all together. Peter would write a little bit later in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Peter writes this comment, we are kept, I like this, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice. Look at that. He's rejoicing. But this is the guy that failed. This is the arm of flesh that failed. He's rejoicing because he knows he's being kept by the power of God. How many of you have been kept by the power of God? Let me just break it down to you. You go into the doctor's office not knowing what they're going to say. But you whisper this prayer, Lord, is in your hand. And you walk into the doctor's office, and even if he does give you a bad report, you can still say, Lord, is in your hands. And the good news is you're still here today. Doctors didn't think you were going to make it. Trouble thought it had you. But God kept you because he's almighty. You got to know that the arm of flesh will fail you. But here's the second part of that prophecy. Jesus had said to them, each one of you are going to abandon me. You're going to leave me all by myself, but I'm not alone. My Father's with me. But then he said in that verse 33, these things, listen carefully, these things I have spoken to you that in me you will have peace. If you don't get anything else out of this message, circle that, underline it. If you got a highlighter, highlight it. In Jesus, you will have peace. In the world, he says, you will have trouble. We just talked about that. You got trouble, you got uncertainty, but be of good cheer. What does it mean to be of good cheer? It means to be happy. That doesn't mean going around joking. He's not talking about go around tell jokes. He's saying, have a cheerful attitude in your heart. In other words, cheer up. People walking around mad, angry, upset, cheer up. If you know him, you can cheer up. Why? Because trouble won't last always. Matter of fact, look at somebody, tell them, trouble won't last always. Oh, you know I had to go there today. I had to get y'all to talk to each other, right? Look at somebody else. Tell them, trouble won't last always. Jesus said, trouble will be in this world. It was here before you were born. And if the Lord should tarry, it's going to be here after you leave. But I'm so glad that the Lord said, the world has tribulation, but I got peace. So if you got Jesus, you got peace today. Yes, the diagnosis might not be good. But I thank God that he's the one that holds us in the hollow of his hand. Do I have some witnesses here today? And guess what? God didn't bring you this far to leave you now. I want to just give a shout out to one of our younger members of the church, Jamari. Jamari has struggled with cancer in his body. But of all the kids I know that have a joyful attitude, that young man has one. Why? Because he knows that he can't control it, but God can control everything. He's an almighty, wonderful God. Jesus goes on to say, and I'm going to give you three applications, and I'm going to let you go. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. These things I've spoken unto you that you might have peace. In me, that you might have peace. The world has tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Three things I want you to write down real quick. First of all, number one, Jesus has overcome the threat of everything you'll face. Write that down. You need to know that. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but every threat you face, he's already overcome it. The wonderful thing is that Christ, we talked about that, Christ, the servant of God, came in the flesh, a body just like you and I, but he was totally God. Now, here's the point. He did not sin. So did he overcome sin? Yes. And everywhere he went, Jesus would heal the sick. He would raise the dead. Did he overcome death? Did he overcome sickness? Last Sunday we talked about demons and you having to face demons. I don't worry about the demons because I got an overcomer with me. There's not a demon in hell that can, as a matter of fact, they're not even in a league with Jesus. Here was Jesus, as weak as he could be in the body, 40 days in the wilderness, and he still kicked the devil. He still defeated him. You got to know that he is in control. So the thing that you should do when you're faced with a problem, instead of looking at your problem and saying, I don't know what I'm going to do, you tell the problem, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get Jesus. And when Jesus comes back, I'm going to have victory in my life because I know the Lord will make a way out of no way. I feel like an old-time preacher now. Almost time for me to get out of here, but I got to tell you, he has overcome. He has overcome. Second point that you need to recognize today is not only did Jesus overcome, but he has power in his word. He said, now in that verse, these things I have spoken to you. Look at it. I've spoken to you that in me you will have peace. If you don't have God's word in your heart, you're in for a hard time. And I'm gonna start with Psalm 23 because that's a good one. That's a good one. If you don't know anything else but Psalm 23 and you're going through stuff that you didn't ask for, the world will throw stuff at you. Just tell the world, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And in the I like the Living Translation where it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't have need of anything. In other words, he supplies all my need. How many of y'all can witness to that? You've been in a point where you had trouble that mounted up to the sky, and yet the only thing you had was the name of Jesus. But because you had Jesus, all on the inside. The Lord made a way out of nowhere. I feel like preaching here. You got his word. You got his word. So, and a lot of time we try to get real religious, real spiritual. Come here, he's already there. Where is he? He's in the word. If you quote the word, God will show up. He will show up and he will make a way in your life. Now, Jesus said, I'm going to leave this with you. I'm going to give you my word. We're going to give you trouble, but I'm going to give you my word. Notice lastly where it says, in him. In him. You can't be on the outside of this thing. You got to be in Christ. Read it. Look at it. Look at what it says. In me. That in me. Everybody say in me. That in me you will have peace. In Jesus you will have peace. You can lay down and go to sleep at night. If stuff got you waking up at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, you walk on the floor, why are you wearing out your carpet? Go on back to sleep and remind yourself, I am in Jesus. So let me give you 3 points again. Jesus has overcome the world. That's point number one. Second, we have the power of Jesus' word. But then lastly, oh my God, we got the power of his presence. Of his presence. I'm going to tell you another story, then I'm going to sit down. Eugene Barclay was a hymn writer, a publisher. And it's interesting how that all throughout his life, he had success. Wrote hymns, published books. Matter of fact, started the Hartford Music Company, had children and raised them. Amen. Everything was going fine for him until he got to the year of 1939. At the age of 53, he had a major stroke. Couldn't walk, couldn't even speak. And you would think, life is over. But in that condition, God began to move on his heart. And he wrote a hymn. Guess what the name of that hymn was? Victory in Jesus. I wish I had a witness here. He could not walk. He could not speak. But he could write. And in writing, he wrote this hymn. I heard an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. He closes with that last verse. I heard about a mansion he's prepared for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. Hallelujah. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day, I'll sing up there this song of victory. A couple of weeks after he wrote that hymn, he died. He didn't die a loser. He died a winner. Because he had the victory in Jesus. Listen, I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what your crisis is today. But God has given you victory. God has given you his presence. And everything in life might fail you. Jesus said, you might even abandon me, but I'm not going to leave you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that all right? That's something to shout about. Now, let me ask this question before I close. Anybody got joy? Anybody got peace of mind? Oh, God, we thank you today that we have the victory in Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and he is our Savior. What a wonderful, wonderful God we serve. Because of that, ladies and gentlemen, we are living in the best of times. You're in the best of times right now because you're in his hands. I want to use this opportunity to give the invitation if there be one. Maybe you're without Christ, without hope. Listening online, you cannot come down these aisles, but spiritually in your heart, you can enter into the presence of God. And you can let the Lord know that you want to make him king of your life, the Lord of glory. If that's your prayer today, if that's your need today, then cry out to him. Father, lead that one that's in a crisis right now. Help them through their struggle. And Lord, guide them safely so that they would know that you are Lord of all. You knew what was in the hearts of humans, and you know that we can easily cry out, these are terrible times. And yet, with you in our life, these are the best of times. Help that soul that needs you today. Reach out to them and redeem them by thy grace. We pray in Jesus' strong name. Amen.